Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and one of my favorite things about this program is being able to share talented communicators of God's Word with you. And today and tomorrow, we're going to be hearing from Steve Idle. Steve's been a pastor for over 30 years and had the privilege of working together with him at Northeast Christian Church in Lexington when he was the lead pastor there. And one Sunday, he preached just a powerful sermon on spiritual drifting. And I think we all, if we're honest, can kind of drift spiritually at times. And I know you're going to be blessed today as Steve's going to share today and tomorrow about spiritual drifting and also on how we can get back to God and avoid doing that. Steve, first of all, man, thanks for joining us here on Hope is Here. So good to have you back.
Thank you, buddy. It's an honor to be here. I've been looking forward to doing this.
Well, I think nobody plans on spiritual drifting, Steve, but I'm just going to let you jump in here with this wonderful message you've got about spiritual drifting.
Okay. Well, you're right. We don't plan on it. We don't talk about it very much, which kind of was the idea that, kind of generated this message several years ago because I saw it happening so easily. And I felt like it was important to bring attention to it because it's a frightening thing. It's not only a destructive thing. It's a deadly thing to be on a drift from God. And as I shared in the sermon, I think there's a lot of things that frighten us in life. I read one national survey that said the top three things that most people are afraid of are heights, which I can identify with that. I'm not a big heights guy, but most people would say that that's one of them. And then the second one would be public speaking, and that's a big fear thing for a lot of people, standing up in front of a group, and so people struggle with that. And the third thing I read, and the most important, biggest fear for people was snakes. And I got to tell you, that is my number one fear. I hate snakes. And I don't mean just big snakes. I mean any snakes, I'm a pretty decent-sized guy. I stand anywhere between 5'11 and 6'1", depending on which convenience store I'm leaving. And, I'm a fairly big guy, but you put a 4-inch garter snake in front of me, and I will freak out. I mean, I hate them. I remember several years ago flipping through the movie channels on TV, and I came across snakes on a plane, and I couldn't turn that channel fast enough. But, those are things that are common things to fight against. But on the spiritual realm, I think this issue of drifting from God is something that really should, in some way, scare all of us. Now, I don't mean that to say I don't think there are very few things in life that we should be afraid of as Christians. But there is one thing that should strike a sense of, in my mind, fear and dread in all of us, and that's drifting. Drifting away from God. And the truth of the matter is, Greg, you and I and everybody listening to this message right now, should be afraid of that happening. It's easy to get really close to God, and we do the church thing. We may be a part of a small group. We may drop a few bucks in the offering plate. We may give our time to build homes for people. We may serve our community, and those are all really good things. But if we're not careful, over time, and it's usually not overnight, but over time, we begin to make very small compromises in our life, and then another small compromise, and then another small compromise, and over a matter of not just a week or a month, but maybe not even over 1 year, we make these choices, and suddenly one day we wake up and we look at our lives, and it's a mess. And we say to ourselves, how in the world did I get here? How did I get in this mess? How in the world did I get to the point where I felt so much guilt, so much shame, so much pain? Because I remember a time when I was so close to God, and now I look at my life. It's such a mess. How did I get here? And the answer is really pretty simple. You drifted. You drifted away from Him. And I think it's important to point out, I'm not talking about some life-changing blowout. Rather, I'm talking about the gradual decline of our spiritual condition. Kind of like the movement of a glacier. Drift is so often so subtle, we rarely notice it. We can drift so imperceptibly, we appear not to be changing our position at all. And because it happens so slowly, it just really doesn't really feel all that deadly. But it is. So I want to talk today to you all about what all of us, and myself included, are potential drifters. I remember sharing in that message years ago that I came to Louisville in the early 90s, and I'd stepped away from ministry for a season, and I started a company, and it wasn't very long after that, just a matter of a few months, that I started noticing what I entitled a spiritual dullness creeping into my life. Just my love for the Word of God. I even noticed things like old sin patterns that I thought I'd had victory over, starting to slowly creep their way back into my life. And it kind of shook me to my core. Like, what's going on here? And I finally realized that because I wasn't in the Word every day, because I wasn't doing the things that I had done my whole life, I had begun to drift. And maybe you find yourself in the same boat. You aren't sure about what's happened to you either. But the bottom line is, you just don't feel as close to God as you used to. And what I learned is, and what I try to teach anytime I talk on this topic, is our heart is either growing warmer towards God or it's growing colder, moving away from Him. So let me ask you all a question right now. Has there ever been a time in your life where you were closer to God than you are right now? If you say yes, then what I want to do in these next couple sessions is talk to you about how you can get back to being closer to God. And closer than you ever have been to Him. And we're going to talk about not only how to do that, but how to keep us from drifting from this point on. So, in light of all this, what should we do? If we're potential drifters, how do we battle this spiritual drift that can so easily creep into our lives? Well, I want you to know we're not the first people to ever struggle with this problem. Let me show you in particular how it happened to one guy in the New Testament, a guy maybe most of you maybe never heard of, but he's actually mentioned three times in Paul's letters in the New Testament. This guy at one time in his life was so spiritual that the Apostle Paul referred to him as my coworker. Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, if you work side by side with the Apostle Paul, I think it would be hard to drift away, right? I mean, you know, we would probably stay pretty solid if we were working there. But this guy didn't. He drifted. His name was Demas. Maybe you've never heard of him. But as I said, he's mentioned three times in the New Testament. The first time is in about 60 AD, where Paul writes in Philemon. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. I mean, this guy's mentioned among some pretty big heavy hitters there, working side by side with the Apostle Paul. But we begin to see a little change the second time he's mentioned, about 2 years later, in Colossians 4, where Paul writes, Dear Dr. Luke sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Yeah, no big thing, you know. Demas says hello, and he once again mentions Luke, calls him Dear Doctor, but Demas is just kind of mentioned. If you pay attention to that, you can almost sense a shift taking place already. But let me show you the last time Demas is ever mentioned in the Bible. Again, it's about another 2 or 3 years later in 2 Timothy 4:10, where Paul says this, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. And that's the end of the story for Demas. We never hear from him again. You know, I have no doubt that if the Roman Herald leader were doing a piece on Paul and his co-workers around 60 AD, Paul probably would have mentioned Demas as one of his key guys. And if Demas had been asked what he was doing, why he's doing what he's doing, he would have said, man, I'm so committed to Jesus Christ. I'm so in love with this church, and I've been working right next to the greatest Christian who's ever lived, the Apostle Paul, and I can't see myself ever doing anything else. And that's exactly how some of us have seen ourselves. And you hear me talk about saying we're going to talk about spiritual drifting today, and maybe you say to yourself, no way, not me. That would never happen to me. I love Jesus. I love his church. It'll never happen to me. But it does happen to a guy who works side by side with the Apostle Paul. And yet, just the course of a few years, he drifts away. You know what? I teach people, because this is so true, that I learned from that day as I studied that passage, if he can drift, I can drift. If Demas, a co-worker of the Apostle Paul, can lose his way, certainly Steve Idle can lose his way, and you can lose your way. So what I want to do today, and a little bit tomorrow as well, is to show you what you need to know about spiritual drift and then what you can do about it to prevent it from ever happening in your life. Because as I said earlier, and please hear this, drifting is deadly to your spiritual life. It's not just dangerous. It's deadly, and it can happen to any of us. And the worst thing we can do is underestimate the deadly effects of drifting it has on our spiritual lives. If we just minimize this condition or just kind of slough it off as no big deal, you know, it'll lead to ruin in our lives. If left unchecked, it can drag us away just as it did Eden. So here's what I want to do today and tomorrow. I want to give you some things that you can help build into your life right now that are ensure that when you get 1, 2, or 5 years down the road, whatever, spiritually speaking, you will remain strong in your walk, that you will remain rooted in Jesus Christ, flourishing in your faith. And so we'll talk about some of those things you can do in a little while. Now, my goal in teaching this is not to make you more committed, because I'm going to tell you something. Commitment won't keep you from drifting. My goal is not to make you smarter. My goal is to help you build in some of your life some things that help ensure that over the next few years of your life, even up until the day you die and God calls you home, that you will hold fast and tight the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think sometimes we forget that the gospel is one of prevention as well. Jude 24 says, now to him who's able to protect you from stumbling. And God can protect you from stumbling. He can protect you from drifting if you build in the right things in your life. Now, let me go back to just to mention to the last mention of Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has deserted me because he loved the things of this life. Can I ask you a really personal question right now that I hope you'll consider? Is there something right now in your life that's competing for your affection for God? I mean, it could be sitting in your driveway. It may be in the real estate listings. It may be being built right now on that lakefront property. All of that competing for your attention. And if left unchecked, unguarded, it has the potential to draw you away from God. I don't care how committed you are right now, or how spiritual you think of yourself to be, or how much you say you love God right now. There's something out there. The things of this life, Paul called them when he talked about Demas, that have the potential to turn your heart away from God. And I think about Demas, I think about a guy who probably got up every morning excited about working side by side with the greatest Christian who ever lived. Yet he drifted away because something in this world caught his eye. And before you know it, he was gone. And I'll say it again. If it can happen to him, it can happen to me. And that scares me. And it ought to scare you just a little, that we are all potential drifters. So you might be asking the question, well, okay, if that can happen, how do I know if I'm drifting? Well, let me give you several statements that'll help you if you're drifting. You know, you've heard of the old Jeff Foxworthy routine, you might be a redneck. Well, this is my list of you might be a drifter. Let me give you a couple of them real quickly. For example, your prayer life consists mostly of quick, one-sided conversations in the shower or the car, and that's the extent of your prayer life. You may be drifting. You don't feel close to God anymore. You may be drifting. You feel like you're on a spiritual roller coaster all the time. You may be drifting. Your Bible reading? Well, that's kind of hit and miss. More miss than hit. You may be drifting. Here's a big one. Maybe you've noticed a low-grade nagging guilt in your life. And you feel bad about yourself. Unfulfilled. You may be drifting. You lack a sense of sustained peace in your life. You may be drifting. You consistently feel like a hypocrite. That might be a sign that you're drifting as well.
Steve, we got to pause right there, man. This is such good stuff. We've been talking with Steve Idle. If you just tuned in, you're driving down the road listening on the radio. Steve Idle, pastor for over 30 years, just a great communicator of God's word, sharing a powerful message about spiritual drifting. And the good news is he's going to be back with us tomorrow to finish talking about ways that we can get back to God and also give us some good things that we can apply in our life to help us to stop from drifting. For Steve Idle, I'm Greg Horn. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.